Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and the Keystone Sports app. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. He's Greg Pickle. Coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, Bleed Blue and White, Drink Blue and Light. We're looking ahead. It's Penn State Purdue week, so we'll look at that matchup in a little bit. We're going to do a little stock up, stock down. I don't know who's going to be stocked down when Penn State blasts Maryland 59-0, but we'll give it our best shot. Just an assessment of where things stand through four games. Penn State 4-0, 1-0 in the Big Ten. And a big favorite to be 5-0 after this weekend. Ask Greg will be coming up. It's moving up to quarter number three this week. These are your Penn State football and recruiting questions. We're also going to start a series called Best Bets, where we're going to look at really the five biggest games in college football. We're always going to do Penn State, but we're also going to do, you know, four primetime games. And this week, the Big Ten's got a pretty, you know, significant presence in that, some top 25 matchups. So we'll give those picks, looking at the spreads and who we like in those games. And I presume we'll keep track of our records just for embarrassment's sake. I for one, enjoy the idea of saying something that you really put yourself out there. But it's on the airwaves, so it's never really documented. You can go back and listen to it, I guess, but nobody's really keeping track. I guess we'll keep track. Jim over here is raising his hand. He's keeping track. So we'll keep track of our record in these things just to see how embarrassing it is. At the very least, we'll give our best bets. And if our records are poor, then statistically we can say you're better off going with the opposite of what we had to say. One way or the other, you guys benefit from it. So let's start with the stock report here, Greg. Lot of up. Coming off that Maryland game, a complete game from quarter one through the end of quarter four. The reserves did a good job. They were good in the passing game. They were good in the running game. The offensive line did its job. Brent Pry dialed up pressure while really taking away everything Maryland wanted to do. Couple interceptions. It's really hard to find fault in that, but what's the big shining positive, the biggest stock up for you after a game like that?
Well, I mean, I think it's just the offense's operation as a whole. I think we spent probably too much time talking about a lot of their flaws, and there were hardly any flaws in this game. Yeah, Sean Clifford throws his first interception, but Nick Cross made a heck of a play on that. Pass, and you just have to tip your cap to him at that point. So, yeah, I thought, you know, just Penn State's offense from the start was aggressive, was fast, was willing to take some chances on some things they haven't done before. They broke out of screen even at one point. So it was probably one of the more creative and innovative games from Ricky Ronnie, and for this offense, easily one of the best performances a Penn State offense has had in the James Franklin era.
That's a good way to put it, is that they were just always a step ahead of where Maryland's defense was. And when you're equipped with what they're equipped with in terms of playmakers and the way Sean Clifford was playing, I guess it might be easy. But at the same time, I thought the play calling was terrific. I thought the play calling got them in position to get some easy throws for Sean Clifford early. You saw him get into a rhythm. He still took some shots down the field, and that, you know, Nick Cross covered about half the field to get over there.
Right.
I don't think it was even an ill-advised throw by Sean Clifford. Like, I think it was there. Might have been a catchable ball had Nick Cross not raced over. Nick Cross, again, a guy I thought was going to end up in blue and white at some point. Looks like he's going to be a player down the road. But yeah, I think I agree with the sentiment that Ricky Ronnie, it's a big stock up for him, for the whole offense, every component of it. And, you know, after a game where you had 2 weeks to prepare, you had 2 weeks to really break down what Maryland's defense was, where it was most vulnerable. You can only hope they come out this way. It's not a guarantee. You know, I think the way that Penn State used its bye week was very, very good, and they were ready for everything. So, you know, the trick, I guess, is on shorter weeks now with the meat of the schedule coming up. Are they going to be this prepared, you know, more often? often than not. Is this a permanent step forward, not just for Sean Clifford, but for a guy like Ricky Rahne, who some fans still aren't completely sold on?
Right. Yeah, no, there's no question about it. So, I mean, obviously they're going to face tougher defenses. There's no doubt about that. But you can only beat what's put in front of you, and Penn State beat the heck out of Maryland on Friday night.
Yeah, the way they did it so demonstratively, I thought was the thing, not just beating this Maryland defense. Stock up for me is what I would call the other young linebackers, not the freshmen, not Micah Parsons. Parsons was ejected early in this game because of a hit to the head of Josh Jackson. To me, on replay, and maybe I'm splitting hairs, but it sure looked like he got the quarterback's shoulder and not the head to me. His body went back, but it looked like the bulk of Micah's impact was on the shoulder. The point remains, though, that he shouldn't have been in the business of hitting that high in the first place, which is why, you know, that's where James Franklin's head was after the game. But I think to lose him for the game early, and then for Ellis Brooks and Jesse Lucchetta to come in and play the way that they did, boy, that was really encouraging. You knew that there was depth here. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody really went into the year sold that Ellis Brooks was going to be a player, or sold that Jesse Lucchetta was going to be a player for sure. But they sure looked like players in this game. With that extra opportunity for snaps, these guys stepped forward in a big way, to the point where maybe you got to force feed them a few more snaps going forward, even when you are at full strength.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting, because they've not really done a lot. They've rotated a lot of positions, but you know, they haven't necessarily done that at linebacker. They were forced to with Parsons going out. And yeah, those guys, Ellis Brooks and Jesse Lucchetta, stepped up in a big way and really followed through on what Brent Pry had been training them to do. So yeah, I was impressed with that. I thought that, you know, those two guys again are put in a pretty tough spot on the road in a conference game, and they shined.
They did shine. As we talked about before, Ricky Rahne, I think, you know, the Maryland defense made it look easy, but I think the way that they were calling plays and the way that they were getting KJ Hamler involved, that would be another stock up for me, is the commitment to getting KJ Hamler the ball. I don't think I'll ever fully understand a game script or an offense where you're not committed to getting him the ball, but Penn State has been in this position before. Like the bowl game against Kentucky, for example, is a good example of that. How are you not forcing it in there? You it's not like you need to take shots down the field repeatedly in order to try to get the ball in KJ Hamler's hand.
Right.
You can hand it off. It can be screened. It can be short stuff. It can be across the middle. Like, he can be fed the ball in so many different ways. This was the game where I feel like I think they get it now. I think they know how they're going to do this. And I feel like what we saw against Maryland is going to carry over. You got to make this commitment and stick to it. And they did stick to it against Maryland.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I mean, they were creative with getting the ball in his hands, and you know, when he has six catches for 108 yards, Penn State's going to win a lot of football games. That's exactly what he had. So, you know, moving on, the one that comes to mind to me quickly is just the special teams and how it continues. I know, you know, Jordan Stout missed a long field goal. He didn't have touchbacks every time. But you know what? We needed to see what would happen if and when Stout didn't make a touchback, and Penn State's kick return coverage team looked perfect. So shout out to Joe Lorig for that. You know, besides the offense obviously clicking on all cylinders, you know, credit to Jaylon Sider and Ricky Rahne for finding a way to best utilize those running backs. They had Maryland guessing at every turn, and all four of those guys played really well.
Yeah, I think for sure that's one of the big positives that I took away, is like, okay, I still have some doubts that a four-man backfield can be happy and can be, you know, you can always press the right buttons, but you come out of it a little bit more confident in this one. Devin Ford, 7 carries, finished with 43 yards, ran very well, I thought. Ricky Slade, 8 carries for 28, he scored a touchdown. Journey Brown, 5 carries for 21 yards, he scored a touchdown on a run, he scored a touchdown on a long catch and run. Noah Kane also got 7 carries for 17 yards. So they all have their strengths. They all have situations that might suit them more so than the others. And maybe it was just a matter of, you know, really needing to get some game experience under their belt, being able to watch film from the first 3 weeks to really get it into some kind of feel, how you're going to pick and choose who you use when. As sitting here as an observer, I have no idea how you make that choice.
Yeah.
James Franklin has talked about this in the past, saying, you know, the first X number of drives might be scripted out to say, hey, we're going to get Journey Brown two series, then Ricky Slade, then Devin Ford. They have that idea in mind, but it's not scripted for four quarters.
Right.
And so once the game starts flowing and you are tested to find the hot hand or exploit a matchup, that's going to be the interesting thing here. It worked this time around. They still need to sell me that it's going to continue to work.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. And, you know, that's what makes a win like some of the ones they had in the non-conference, a win over Maryland. You know, I think sometimes we're too quick to jump on the negative of a game, and then I think sometimes we're too quick to, you know, expand the positives of a game. And Penn State had so many positives, it would be easy to sit here and today and say that all their issues are fixed. But James Franklin said before that, you know, just because you win a game by a lot or you lose a game by a lot, your strengths are still there, your weaknesses are still there. So they'll have to continue preparing the way they have been to make sure that they can, you know, limit those weaknesses moving forward.
It is tricky. You know, the results of what happens in a game or what happens on a drive or what happens on a particular play can be good, they can be bad, but the symptom of whether you did it right, whether you have enough to be a competitive team, like that doesn't ebb and flow nearly as much as the results do, nearly as much as the sentiment does. So Penn State, you know, even when it looked, you know, even beating Pitt 17-10 under the circumstances, the way that Kenny Pickett played, the way that Pitt came back the next week and beat UCF, like I don't, maybe the 17-10 win is just a good win. I don't know. I mean, it didn't look like a good win because you expected so much against Pitt, but you know, maybe it's just a matter of jumping too quickly. In this one, James Franklin mentioned the reserves played well. Like a guy like Adisa Isaac, to be able to get him on the field and to get a little taste of what he can bring, he looks like he's going to be a big-time kid down the road.
He does, no question about it. I mean, I don't want to spend too much time on stock down, but, you know, obviously the Parsons ejection is something that can't happen moving forward again. That's just not a good look. You know, stock down to the Maryland kid who also got ejected for targeting. We don't know about Justin Shorter's status moving forward. Other than that, I mean, I guess you can, you know, ball security with the interception from Clifford, but I mean, I feel like we're picking it, you know, the nitty gritty at that point.
Yeah, I just a really resoundingly positive performance, one that I don't think we've seen. You know, I think even the 2016 team that was so good, they played lights out for usually about 30 minutes a game, and another 30 minutes you're scratching your head. And this one, first half, second half, pass game, pass defense, run defense, both lines, they won the turnover battle. You know, like I think there was so much good stuff out of this game. The trick is just taking that, applying it moving forward. You got Purdue coming up this weekend. We're going to tackle that in just a little bit. It's another game where I think you as a program would love to make a statement. You would love as a fan to see Sean Clifford keep that momentum going, because if Sean Clifford is going to play all season like he did against this Maryland team, it changes everything for this Penn State offense. Anytime you got a big quarterback, you know, you got a lot of margin for error in other places. Maybe Sean Clifford is that guy. He looks like he's got a real good shot. Purdue coming up this weekend. It's also coming up on quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.